Good morning, KINS. It's a screwy day, but it's foggy outside, so that makes it a winter. Monday, the 30th of August, joining us this morning are field correspondents from Baton Rouge, Rob Arkley.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm okay. How is the slicker? Did you have to break it out for many hours this weekend?
Well, if we had been 10 miles further east, it would have been a mess, and you would be hearing something different. But since we were where we got very little rain. We got 80-mile-an-hour winds, and it looks like Agent Orange has been dropped on the trees. There's no foliage, but we were blessed. We escaped.
Very good. The region, though, did it get... we're hearing that New Orleans is zero power, and with some of the infrastructure, the major electrical line towers being compromised, that it's going to be a long haul, but that the levees and the dikes held.
There was just a dike that broke, and I don't know where, but overall, look, this was a really big storm, and a lot of people are still getting whacked, and over in Mississippi, band after band's coming through.
Yeah.
So I would not underestimate how big a storm it was. It was huge, and I keep mulling over in my mind, what do I prefer, a hurricane, an earthquake, or a fire? None of them are fun, and they all have different attributes.
Yeah, it's an easy call for me.
Which one do you prefer?
Oh, earthquake, no question about it. One, it's normal for us, right, to have those. Two, there's not the buildup. You just have to be prepared, and then you react. You know, the fire, holy cow. I mean, what a different creature. I mean, it's almost like it's alive, kind of like a thunder or a hurricane is. But an earthquake, you deal with it. You know, it's a response rather than a preparation.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, we now, being down here, naturally have a fire close to one of our ranches, so that's a little unnerving today, and we're having to evacuate our houses. So it's quite a time.
Yes, it is. Well, okay. I'm going to hit you with your question before you divert me any longer. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Why is a face called a mug?
I don't know.
200 years ago, it was common practice to design drinking mugs to look like ugly faces. It wasn't long before somebody made the reverse association and began referring to faces, perhaps ugly ones, as mugs.
That's really good.
It's not complicated.
I should have gotten that.
Oh, boy. So what are you hearing out there in the Midwest regarding the vaccine, the inoculations, the hospitalizations, the ICUs, the death rates, all that kind of stuff? Is it a consistent messaging that's going on throughout the country, or are you hearing different perspectives?
No, the elderly want to be vaccinated, which makes sense, and the kids don't, which perhaps makes sense and perhaps doesn't. I haven't decided yet. And the young people, a friend of mine's son came down with, he was COVID positive, and he got appendicitis. And so there are correlations, and I guess that's one of the ones that happens. So what do I hear? I hear there's a lot of COVID. Not many people are dying. The emergency rooms are pretty darn full. Seems to have peaked here in Louisiana, maybe. Looks like it's either peaking or peaked in Eureka. I don't know. It's a mess.
Yeah, it's almost, with all the natural stuff that's going on, and I don't know if this one's a natural or not. You know, you can argue pretty pretty aggressively on either side. What's the next thing? Or are we going to get relief? And then when we do get relief, are we all going to appreciate that we are in a period where we don't have so many things just being piled on top?
Yeah, we're having a lot of challenges right now. And that's kind of, I think things run in cycles, and this is our cycle.
So what are your perspectives from a business point of view? Is this something that's going to, obviously it's impacting the national economy already, but what kind of trends are out there? Because all of the things I've seen have a big old asterisk after it because of what we've been dealing with for the last 12 to 14 months.
Well, with what we're dealing with, but the amount of federal money that's been thrown into the economy, which has done things, I don't think things are getting better. I sense housing has slowed down ever so slightly and continues to do so. People are, some want to work, some don't. The vaccine versus not vaccine, I guess the courts say they can do that. I can't, in good conscience, do that to our staff. And maybe, who knows? It's just very difficult to know what the right thing to do is. Right now, I'm profoundly concerned about the amount of personal freedoms that are being changed. And so it's a time to remain vigilant as to our rights.
You mentioned housing. What do you see for long-term rates, either on the consumer side or in some of the other areas? Kind of as it has gone for the last little bit, do you see that for the next 2-3 years?
I think rates are going to go up on housing. I think the Fed is going to taper slowly, and slowly rates are going to increase. Nothing dramatic to take the air out of the economy.
But just a ticker.
The economy is okay, but you just can't take the air out of it.
Right,
it's interesting. Right. A lot of the Democrat public policy is being enacted by the capital markets these days. In other words, if they're not financing gun makers, they're making people play by their rules.
And one of those rules is we got to take a break. So we'll be back. Continue.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, before the break, we were talking a little bit about rates, and you thought that there might be an uptick, I presume that there would be a half point, in the housing market in the next, I don't know, 6 months to 12 months. Are we going to see any other small changes, or is everybody just going to kind of wait and see what happens as things continue to develop?
I don't think people are waiting to see what happens, Bri. I don't think that's it. I think people are trying diligently to get going, but this mask, no mask stuff is very difficult, and it is hard to create a consistency for the restaurants, for the service industry, and the money from the government has to come to a stop. because it's very difficult for a lot of these businesses to staff themselves. We have great people at SN, but we're kind of unique in that way because we offer benefits and some of that other stuff, and boy, we have great people. But it's not easy.
Do you think the elections are going to be the triggering event for some of the changes? I mean, we've got, what are we now, September almost? So we've got 3 or 4 months before we start the electioneering cycle, at least in California with the early elections. We've got the recall that's coming up. Do you think we're just going to be buffeted now during this next little bit with electioneering, positioning, and that's going to add another layer in that?
It certainly adds another layer, but one thing I can't tell you is why in the world, you know, people don't like these masks. People just don't. And there's a lot of science that shows that the COVID Delta is a smaller germ or virus or whatever it is, but that's why it moves. That's why it's so contagious and sticky. Is it dances right through a mask? Why are they doing the masks now? Is Gavin just really trying to irritate everybody? Seems like it, but we'll see.
Yeah, and then we roll into the local election cycle, and there's been, you know, some discussions about that already. I don't know. I mean, it just is. Hopefully, we're going to have a slate of candidates for all the elections, so there's choice this time instead of only having one or two, and you know they're both no-namers kind of thing. To be able to really make a determination of who best represents somebody's point of view, rather than do I recognize this name or not? Well, that really doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot if it's a negative recognition.
Well, the point of view that's going to be helpful is either you're for Humboldt, Polly, or you're against it. And the candidates that are opposed to it, and they're going to have to be pretty brave people, because I think the future of Humboldt County right now is Humboldt, Polly. And Jackson has a view, but we will see what happens in these elections. And they're going to be spirited, and the word's going to get out.
Do you see that there is... Well, let me step back. It's how they would interact with Humboldt State as a polytech, or shoot it down as a polytech?
Well, make no mistake, I don't think they can shoot it down.
That's what my thought was as well. Okay.
That's embedded. The question is how welcoming our various communities, for instance, Eureka, McKinleyville, Trinidad, Fortuna, to the growth that is necessarily forthcoming.
Boy, are you hearing that some are not excited? Or is this just a concern?
I hear Madron is not excited.
Okay.
Which is not altogether shocking. But, you know, it's change. And, you know, anytime you're an agent of change, the arrows come out.
I suspect that was a large part of the issues that you were dealing with the Home Depot on the balloon track. It wasn't development for development's sake necessarily. It was change, and how does that ripple in the pond?
Yeah, and, you know, now it's going to change. And I love change, and I embrace it, but not everybody does. Some people like it the way it is.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And I think a lot, the embracer or people wanting no change because of the consistency that permits, I guess, might be the way to think of it.
Yep. And the knowledge that not just consistency, it's the comfort that status quo offers.
Yeah. Yeah, and I suspect that's an awful lot of it, particularly when you move into the business sector, where there's so many things that are always moving around, but if you can keep it limited, that's one thing. But if you have cataclysmic change, that's a little bit different. Yeah, I don't know how businesses down in the neighborhood where you are right now, why they're there. You get a hurricane every 10 or 15 years of the magnitude that you guys have had. Holy cow, I would be reevaluating life really quickly.
Oh, forget it. You don't know what it's like the days when you don't have it.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'll wait for that invitation.
All right.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Barkley, senior correspondent. See that? You know, you hang around for 10 minutes, now you're a senior correspondent.
I got a promotion. I feel so good about that.
Yeah. Fair enough. Oh, so with the Afghanistan and debacle, I guess, that has gone on with the pullout, and the timing of the pullout. It seems like everybody's kind of up in arms about that and is wringing their hands and is very frustrated with it. On the international scene, are there any other issues that are similar to that that you think can play out in next year's congressional cycle?
How about the border, buddy?
Well, you're closer than we are. That certainly is one, but it's not receiving national press right now, but I would suspect that that still doesn't mean that it's not a concern.
Oh, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I do not confuse what you hear on read here on the news with what people are concerned about. I mean, Trump got 75 million votes against a universally opposed press. Never has there been such a biased press. No. People aren't aware of what the left knows what we think and is terrified. That's why Biden's going after gun control. They're trying to do things because they're going to lose power quickly.
I've heard that a couple of different places, is that there's just a ton of stuff that's trying to be pushed through now because they do see the loss of both houses.
Well, not just both houses, but the states. Oh, the Democrats are getting clobbered in the states. It's just ugly. And there's no changing it from what I can see. Because really, when you get right down to it, the blacks and Hispanics are quickly migrating over to the Republican Party. It's just a real problem, and they see it, and they don't know what to think. The wealthy urban people are now the Democrat Party. It's not anybody else. It is the urban and suburban wealthy. And it's during our lifetime, we've seen it the Democrats go from a workers' party to a total elitist party.
Let me lob this one out at you. What do you think, and I have no idea if this is close or not, in California, the recall fails. But Larry Elder, black conservative, is the number one vote recipient in the election. Let's say he gets, 35-40%, which would be huge with as many horses in the race. Do you think that would send any kind of a message, or do you think it would be received as Newsom survived, business as usual?
Well, that's what they're going to do, but that's not the message the Democrats would do, but that's not the message they should take away from this. California is ready to flip as a state, and they don't see it. They keep laughing. I mean, when you're so arrogant that you're saying, you think that saying this is a Republican-led recall effort, and therefore I'm going to win. That's their messaging.
Right, right. And I've seen a lot of the independents are the ones that seem to be the front of the bus on this one.
Well, the Democrat Hispanics aren't exactly sitting in the back seat.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot of people vying for that front window on this time around, which is interesting. Because, I mean, if you have access to that polling, I'm sure that they're doing polling also. Would it be possible that two simultaneous polls being conducted would come up with dramatically different results?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, polls, it is hard to get objective polling. And it's clear that we did, certainly, the polling I read is never seen on TV or print. And I'll tell you, the pollsters, these are push polls happening now. They're pushing people towards a result, not to measuring the true sentiment.
So the questions that they're asking are slanted, or the options for the answering are limited, or they're just making the suggestion?
All of the above, and they're oversampling Democrats.
Well, the state is more Democratic register than any other party, so I would think that would be a cross-section, would have more Democrats in the pool, but you're saying they're overrepresented?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Interesting, because I don't know if... I suppose, I've only participated in a couple of them, and they've never asked what party affiliation I was.
Well, next time you and I speak, a decent pollster, Bryce, should know what party affiliation you are.
Doing the research before you make the phone call. Okay, that one I get. But if it's truly a random, how would they know?
I just don't think they're doing randoms.
Oh, okay.
I pretty well understand polling now a lot better than the ones that you read about. For instance, they thought this was going to be a blowout for Biden, and you could measure it 100,000 different ways. That guy won by less than 40,000 votes, and so it was close. And it was obvious that was going to be the case.
Interesting. Well, we'll talk. Okay, we now have a topic for September's show. We'll talk about polling and how that happens. But we'll move on to a new topic when we come back. It's 8:42.
Hey, folks! Flying local is buying local, and with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time, it's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Barkley. Rob, is there a new emerging issue that America is looking at that might have been talked about during the Trump administration? Maybe not. Might have been talked about in the Obama? Maybe not. Or Bush? Or now with Biden in his first year? Is there something that's bubbling underneath the surface that has a potential to become the topic that will really influence the next election cycle?
Absolutely. It's a complete contempt and distrust of government and big corporations. Because make no mistake, these big corporations are just doing at the Democrats' behest what the government can't do. They're becoming proxies for the government. And so people, and I know lots of them, the contempt out there for big business and government is unbelievable.
So when you say big business, I mean, for those with small business, it's always the next guy that's a little bit bigger. So what are you talking about? The Amazons and the Walmarts and the big, big, big international, the IBMs and guys like that? Is there?
Yep.
What
and
is okay?
Coca-Cola, all these big businesses, and they're using credit as a weapon in the banks, and so the banks are being the bigger banks are being sucked left at an amazing rate, and they're trying to destroy businesses they don't like by preventing them from having credit because they don't agree with part of what they're doing. I mean, that's what this whole, what is it called? Sustainability, SGE movement is about, the sustainability, governance, and environment. And they're just trying to monitor businesses, private and public, as to how they can conduct business. It's outrageous.
And then, and that is, if that's out there, I suspect that we'll know about it after it's already taken root and already has the claws in, and we start to see changes that are going on. Is this the associated with the whole PC stuff that has happened over the last 4 or 5 years, and it just has a new title on it now?
Yes, but it's been weaponized. And it's not PC. It's weaponizing corporate virtue as it's defined by them.
And then that just trickles down through to everybody.
Well, it does. There are a lot of businesses that don't follow, and that's why there's a growing gulf between the business establishment and the rest of us. And, you know, they're expecting control, but they don't really have it. And, you know, make no mistake, we're all under assault, but we're doing okay. I mean, it's not fun. It's not what I would like to see, but we're dealing with it, and recognition is the first step.
So what would be an example of this?
An example are the gun manufacturers who can't get credit now. An example of this would be offering a lower interest rate for a company because they have a certain policy. Offering no credit to a business that they don't agree with. So it just goes on and on and on. And, Brian, the banks are at the center of it, the big banks. And it makes the smaller mid-market banks more valuable to most businesses, because who's going to trust these guys?
That's right. I would think that the market would then shift either to the local or the mid-level or the regional banks, and that they would start to see the action where the big boys weren't. Wouldn't they be jeopardizing their business model by getting involved at that level, or are they just so big that they are kind of immune from some of that stuff?
I think when you have trillions of dollars, and you're being coerced by a business, by a regulator and politicians, you know, you have pretty big set of crosshairs on you, and you're kind of beholden to them. So it's not surprising that they respond.
Would there be anybody in our size communities and in our region that would be subject to that? I mean, are the timber industry folks, are they in that bullseye?
Well, A, they're in the bullseye, but B, when you get right down to it, the timber industry it's been through it. They've been crushed, and there are a few large landowners, and they're all but a regulated utility. It's hard to be a timber company.
Right. So we've kind of seen it, but it wasn't in this current version.
Well, that was more government-centric. It wasn't done by banks, to the best of my knowledge. And you do have good lenders like Ag Credit and that gave them natural moats to barriers to entry. But those are the ones I think of. I think of Pacific Seafood. They're a huge producer of seafood products. And I think to a lesser extent, all banks, even Redwood Capital, are being headlocked.
Pressured. Persuaded, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. We'll have to monitor that a little bit. I guess now we got two topics for next month.
That'll be great. Next month is going to be a showstopper. Make sure everyone tunes in.
Well, and let's make sure you get here safely and you have your ranch, okay?
All right, buddy. You take care.
All right. Hang in there. Thanks, Rob.
All right. Bye-bye.
See everybody tomorrow.